Okay, so you're a law student, right? And you're probably thinking about all those classic legal scenarios, like what happens if you're asleep in your car after maybe having one too many? Can they actually get you for a DUI even if you're like totally passed out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. It's one of those things that sounds kind of crazy, right? But it can definitely happen. And that's what makes this case we're talking about today, State v. Schwach, so interesting, especially if you're thinking about criminal law or evidence.
It really dives into some of the trickier parts of DUI law and how courts are interpreting these concepts. We'll be going deep on that today.
It all comes down to this idea of actual physical control and whether being asleep behind the wheel really counts as, well, being in control.
And then there's the whole question of blood tests. Like, are they always admissible in court, or can you challenge them? Turns out there's a lot more to it than you might think.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of procedural stuff that needs to happen perfectly for a blood test to actually hold up as evidence.
That's where State v. Schwach gets super relevant.
The North Dakota Supreme Court really had to grapple with some pretty complex legal arguments in this case.
Okay, so let's set the scene. It's North Dakota, and our guy, Gregory Allen Schwach, is found in his pickup truck, like slumped over the wheel. Engine's running, headlights are on, not a great look.
Yeah, not exactly subtle. And of course, his blood alcohol content is over the legal limit, 0.10%.
So he's convicted at trial, right? Seems pretty open and shut.
You'd think so, but Schwach decides to appeal. He takes his case all the way up to the North Dakota Supreme Court.
And that's where things get really interesting for us, because the appeal brings up two really big questions that are super important for law students. Like, first off, did they actually prove he was in actual physical control of the car, even though he was like totally asleep?
Right, because it's not like he was driving, but he was still behind the wheel. And second, they're going to look at whether that blood test was even admissible. Could they use it against him in court? These are the kinds of things that make or break a DUI case.
Absolutely. So let's break down this whole actual physical control thing. In North Dakota, there's this law, it's section 390801-1 of the North Dakota Century Code.
Right, the NDCC, everyone's favorite light reading.
It basically says you can't drive or be in actual physical control of a vehicle while you're drunk. Now, obviously, driving is pretty easy to understand, but actual physical control gets a little blurry.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the big question here. Can you be considered in control of a car if you're asleep or unconscious?
And, to complicate matters even more, Schwach was arguing that this whole actual physical control thing is way too vague. Like, it doesn't give people enough warning about what they can and can't do.
So he's saying it's unconstitutional because it's too hard to figure out what it actually means in practice.
Right. So what did the court say about all of this? Did they agree with Schwach?
Well, on the actual physical control part, they actually sided with the state. They said that even though he was asleep, Schwach could still be considered in actual physical control because he was behind the wheel and the car was running.
Wait, so even if you're passed out, they can still say you're in control?
That's what the court decided, yeah. They basically said that the law is designed to prevent drunk driving before it even happens. So it's not just about catching people in the act, it's about stopping them from even getting to that point.
I see. So they're taking a really preventative approach to DUI.
Exactly. They even said that someone in Schwach's position could, like, set out on an inebriated journey at any moment.
Wow, so they're really emphasizing the potential danger here.
Oh, definitely. And as for the vagueness argument, they didn't buy it. The court said that the statute is clear enough, it gives fair warning to people about what's considered illegal, and it guides law enforcement on how to apply the law.
So basically, the court's message is if you're drunk and behind the wheel of a car that's ready to go, you're in trouble.
Pretty much. Even if you're sleeping, the court's making it clear that you shouldn't even put yourself in that situation.
It's like a big flashing red light. Don't even think about sleeping it off in your car if you've been drinking.
Right. They're drawing a hard line.
Okay, so that's the actual physical control part. But then there's the whole blood test issue, right? The defense was trying to say the blood test shouldn't have even been allowed as evidence.
Oh, yeah, that was a whole other can of worms. It all boiled down to a very specific procedure that the state toxicologist, basically North Dakota's top expert on this stuff, laid out.
So what was this procedure that caused so much trouble?
Okay, so when you draw someone's blood for a BAC test, there are these vials you use to collect the sample.
Right.
And those vials have preservatives and anticoagulants in them, you know, to keep the blood from clotting and make sure the results are accurate.
Makes sense.
The state toxicologist has this very specific rule about how to handle those vials. You have to invert them, like turn them upside down a certain number of times.
So it's like shaking up a bottle of salad dressing or something.
Pretty much. It's to make sure all those chemicals in the vial get mixed properly with the blood. That way the test results are reliable.
I'm starting to see where this is going.
Yeah, well, the defense argued that the prosecution didn't actually prove that the nurse who drew Schwach's blood did this inversion thing.
Like they didn't have any record of it.
Exactly. They said, hey, you can't just assume that the nurse did everything perfectly. You have to actually show that they followed the protocol to the letter. And because they didn't do that, the defense said the whole blood test should be thrown out.
Wow. So it was like a technicality, but a really important one.
Exactly. It could have had a huge impact on the case.
So what did the court say about all of this?
Well, the majority of the court agreed with the defense. They said that strict adherence to the state toxicologist's procedures is absolutely essential for blood tests to be considered reliable and therefore admissible in court. And since the prosecution couldn't prove that the vial was inverted correctly, the court said the blood test results should be thrown out.
It really emphasizes just how strict they are about procedure.
Oh, yeah. They're not messing around when it comes to scientific evidence. They want to make sure that everything is done by the book, or else they're not going to let it be used in court. And that's a really big takeaway for law students. You got to be super careful about following procedure, especially when it comes to scientific evidence like blood tests.
It's interesting, though, right? Because there was a dissenting opinion in this case, too. Justice Meschke saw things a little differently.
He did. Justice Meschke was more focused on the practical side of things. He pointed out that the nurse who drew the blood signed a certification stating that she followed all the proper procedures. And he argued that this certification should be enough, that it should be presumed to be accurate unless there's a clear reason to doubt it.
So he's saying that we should trust the professional judgment of the nurse who drew the blood.
Right. He said that the state shouldn't have to prove every little detail of the procedure if there's no reason to believe it wasn't done correctly. He was worried that requiring the super strict level of proof would make it practically impossible to use blood tests as evidence in DUI cases.
So you've got this clash between really strict procedural compliance on one hand and a more practical approach on the other. It's a fascinating tension in the law.
It really is. And it raises some big questions for all of us, like how much proof should be required before scientific evidence can be used in court? Where should the burden of proof lie? It's something to think about as you continue your legal studies.
Okay, so let's bring it all home.
Yeah.
What are the main takeaways from Steve V. Schwach for our law student listeners?
I think there are two really important lessons here. First, this case shows us that courts are taking a very broad view of what it means to be in actual physical control of a vehicle. Even being asleep or unconscious behind the wheel can get you in trouble if you're over the legal limit. The law is really focused on preventing drunk driving before it happens, so don't even think about sleeping it off in your car if you've been drinking.
Don't do it.
The second big takeaway is that the process matters. Like, a lot. Prosecutors have to be incredibly meticulous when they're dealing with scientific evidence. They need to prove that every single step in the procedure was followed correctly, or else the evidence might not be admissible. And defense attorneys, this is where you come in. You need to be really sharp and look for any procedural errors that could help your client. State v. Schwach shows us that even seemingly small details can make a huge difference in a DUI case.
Absolutely. This case is a great reminder for all of us that procedure is king, especially in criminal law and evidence.
It's a great illustration of how those two areas intersect and how important it is for aspiring lawyers to understand the nuances of both.
So, to all you future legal eagles out there, we encourage you to dig into State v. Schwach and really get a feel for the arguments and the reasoning behind the decision. It's a fascinating case with some really important implications for DUI law and evidence.
And think about those bigger questions we talked about. How do we balance the need for reliable scientific evidence with the realities of police work and procedure? Where do we draw the line? These are the kinds of things that'll keep you up at night, in a good way, of course.
Yeah.
And that's what makes studying law so exciting, right? It's about grappling with these complex issues and figuring out how to apply them in the real world.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's the kind of critical thinking that'll make you a great lawyer.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into State v. Schwach.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.